August of 2000.
Last year.
Yeah, last year. And I just went over to the National Bookstore in Manila, and this is, they just loaded with it. They've got about 30 copies of this. And yeah, I went to another National Bookstore, and I got another whole bunch of 30, 40 copies of this. So it's getting very broad circulation in the Philippines. Well, let's go into a few of the things he says here. Yes, in the book he's got about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, about 16 pages on me, starting at page 77 and ending at page 92.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, and so it's entitled Agony of a Genius. And these are articles that were originally reported in Chess Piece. And I mean, this column called Chess Piece, which was published in Business World, the Business World newspaper.
Yes, that's a newspaper here in the country.
Right, it's just basically your equivalent of the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, the Rothschilds, the Jewish world government, own and control all of these major business publications.
Mm-hmm.
Because business is, you know, it's what they're all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I'm quite sure Business World is at least partially owned by the Rothschilds.
Mm-hmm.
And then some Philippine affiliate of theirs, you see.
I'll try to look into that anyway.
Yeah, oh yeah, you can be sure of that. Now, this question here is called Agony of a Genius. Originally reported in Chess Piece, columns of March 19th, 23rd, 26th, and 30th, 1999. Let me just point out a very few of the lies or misleading statements he makes in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbelievable. Plus, full of insults, so he says, okay. Bobby Fischer resurfaced from his hibernation in Hungary. Now, this is typical Jew talk. They talk about I'm a recluse, hibernating, all this stuff. Okay. People are getting these interviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just look at how he's continuously, by telling lies and misleading statements, trying to destroy my chess record, destroy my chess image. Bobby Fischer was born on March 9, 1943, and started making a name for himself in 1957. Wrong! I started making a name for myself at least 7 years earlier, and especially in 1956, when I won the U.S. Junior Championship. And also, I played what they call the Game of the Century in 1956 in the Rose Bowl tournament against Donald Byrne. Okay, and then he says, I played in the American Open at age 13. I never played in the American Open. I played in the U.S. Junior Championship at age 13, which I won, and I won it again the next year.
Really?
So he says, I started making names so when I won the USA Junior Championship in 57. Oh, alive. I won it in 56. Now he goes on to say, this was a period of great chess activity for Fischer. He didn't do too well in South American tournaments. Again, outright lie. I have the record here. And I did very well in South American tournaments, especially considering that in this period that he's talking about, I was very young. I was 15, 16 years old.
Oh.
15, 16, 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I won Marga Plata and tied for first with Boris Spassky in 1960. And I won just an enormous amount. I think I won. So I have all the record here. But anyway, okay. And then I had another tournament in the Marga Plata. I tied for second. I got it for third and fourth.
Mm-hmm.
1959, the year before, which is also a very good record. And then I did well in Chile, although I didn't win the tournament. I did reasonably well. And then I had one bad tournament. Yeah, that's true, in Buenos Aires, 1960.
But you lost in that tournament.
Yeah, I was in the, I had a minus score.
Oh.
Okay. But to jump from one minus score to say we didn't do too well in South American tournaments is absurd. Okay. Now we go down to the Curacao, the Candidates tournament in 1962. Okay. In the Curacao Candidates, he was only fourth. losing individual matches, not only to Petrosian, Karras, and Geller, who all finished ahead of him, but also to Korchnoi. Again, he's simply lying. Well, I have the tournament record right here. I lost my match to... See, this tournament, we play four games against each other.
Oh, four games each.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I lost my match to... Petrosian,
2.5-1.5.
I tied my match with Karras, 2-2. I lost my match with Geller, 2.5-1.5. I lost my match with Korchnoi, 2.5-1.5. Okay. So... And, but now also I beat Tal in this tournament, who's also Russian, 2.5, rather 2-1, because he only played three games because he dropped out because of illness. So he makes it sound like I lost all my matches to the Russians, right? But actually, I lost three matches to the Russians. I tied one, and I won one. Very, very different, no? From what he's trying to make it look like.
Yes.
And this is all on the record, you see? Because I have it right in here. It's all on record. So, you know, and Bobby Ong is a professional journalist. These things are, this is all published everywhere, you know. He knows this very well. He knows what my record is. You see? So this is totally inexcusable.
Do you think he did that on purpose?
No question about it, no question. No question. He did it on purpose, oh yeah. Okay. He's a professional journalist, Pablo.
Okay.
Let's continue here. Whereas others could suffer from a period of creative depression after such debacle, which wasn't as much of a debacle as he said, right? Pablo reacted swiftly and planned his resurrection. He cut down sharply on his tournament appearances for a purpose. Actually, there was no purpose. This didn't have any good invitations. He devoted more time to chess study, and when he chose to play, scored good results. I have to say, before this, I hadn't scored good results, right? Since then, according to him, when I started looking up and studying, since then, he won every U.S. championship he took part in. This is since 1962. Right? But I already won a separate U.S. championship prior to 1962. What does he mean, since then you won every U.S. championship? Which apart, I won every U.S. championship I played in, all eight U.S. championships. So what does he mean, since then? You see? If you want to say since then, you should start at a period before I won my first U.S. championship, right?
That's right.
But he's starting after I won several U.S. championships, and he's pretending that prior to this I had not won U.S. championships. He's just a disgusting liar. Despicable person. And now he goes down and talks about, I played in Santa Monica 66, his wizards. In 1966, then world champion Spassky was the only who got ahead of him at Santa Monica 1966. Okay, I think he was the only one who got ahead of him. Okay.
Okay.
Again, it's a truthful statement, but it's misleading because you could get the impression that Spassky was first and I tied for a second. I was clear second. Why not just say Fischer came clear second? Well, he came second. Okay? And then he says his first places in the past years were achieved by scoring high against the bottom half of the table. All lies. You can look at the record.
Yeah.
And then he goes to my candidates' matches in 1970. See? 70, 71. See? Talks about a fine start to an outstanding march to the World Championship. Six victories versus no draws and no losses in his candidates match versus Mark Taimano. Six victories versus no draws and no losses in his next match versus GM Ben Larson. He just calls that a fine start. Winning 6-0 against Taimano and then 6-0 again against Larson. This is the equivalent of pitching two back-to-back perfect ball games.
That's right.
And we just call that a fine start. Now, if that is not a put-down, I don't know what is, see? And then, now he really gets vicious. This is a real calculated insult. talks about his Cinderella ride to the world's crown triggered a boom. Triggered a chess move of unprecedented proportions in the U.S. and all over the world. His Cinderella ride to the world's crown. Now, I have never, heard this metaphor used regarding a man.
It's always a girl.
Yes, this is like, you might say, Julia Roberts or Cinderella rides to stardom or something, right? You don't think it's a Cinderella ride for a man. For a man, you say, Horatio Alger story, right? Rags to riches story, whatever. Could it mean at least have said the Cinderfella? Maybe there was some movie about it. Like a gay guy, right? A gay, Cinderfella.
It's probably something about gender, huh?
Well, this is me and it's deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
It's vicious. I want to let Bobby, if you're listening to me, if you're trying to improve my masculinity, I wear size 47 wide shoes. What size shoes do you wear, Bobby? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. What a trip. There's a spickle around with this, Bobby. Now, I just showed him a couple of other things he did here. He says, he's talking about the CD-ROM that Learning International came out with called Bobby Fischer Teaches Chess. This was reissued as a CD in the 90s. While the second book went through several editions. But for some reason, no permissions were ever asked and no royalties were ever paid. Now, this CD-ROM, they wrote to me. This Learning International wrote to me. They're the same people who publish Bobby Fischer Teaches Chess, the book.
Yes.
They wrote to me. They said, they even put a place for me to put my signature. But I agree that they will that they can publish a CD ROM form of my book, Bobby Fischer Chess.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me a place for me to sign. I refused to sign, and I told them you cannot do this. They just went ahead and did it anyway. And they never gave me a penny. So this is very inaccurate reporting here. And Bobby talks about that. Bobby Fischer contested this. He's talking about this. Fake patch for this edition of My 60 Memorable Games. Bobby Fischer confessed this and said he had checked the books himself and documented more than 1,000. Now, this is a typical Bobby Ongism. It's true, I did say more than 1,000, but I actually said many thousands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's technically a true statement that I said more, but it's actually misleading. It's very misleading. Much more than 1,000 changes. Many, many thousands of changes that Fischer has made. As a matter of fact, I just while I'm on that subject, I think I just mentioned one vicious falsification they made, and this is from in the original My 60 Memorable Games, published by Simon & Schuster. My game with Larson, Ben Larson. This is game number 57. After the 19th move, after White's 19th move, I commented, Morrison's reluctance to simplify will soon backfire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this fake, forged, counterfeit, pirated edition by Batsford, here's what they have me say. And so I received a penny for this book. And God only knows how many hundreds of thousands or millions of copies they've made of this book. And, they quote me as saying, Morrison's reluctance to simplify will soon backfire on him. Now, it's understood it's on him. Because let's say a gun backfires. Let's say I'm shooting a gun at you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to backfire on you. It's going to backfire on me.
That's right.
Understood? When you talk about something backfiring, that it backfires on the person who is
doing it.
Yeah. And I just give you an indication here. This is interesting. I just noticed this here. Here's an interesting, a recent article. This is from the International Herald Tribune, April 6, 2001, by William Sapphire. He's a very well-known Jewish, what we call like a culture conservative commentator in the newspapers, and also he's supposedly a real wordsmith, an expert on words. He's even written a book, as I recollect, on correct English usage. And he says, here's the title of his article, China's belligerence will backfire. That is the title of his article. The article doesn't say China's belligerence will backfire on themselves or on itself. It says China's belligerence will backfire, period, that's it. Incidentally, this a lot of people make excuses for all these vicious falsifications that have been made in Bashford. But it's all that they just don't know or whatever. You know that two of the people who rewrote my book in my name without my permission, who counterfeited this book, who went to Oxford University. John Nunn went to Oxford, and he was an assistant professor of mathematics. He graduated from Oxford, was assistant professor of mathematics. But I also just found out recently that this other dirty Jew, John Spielman, also went to Oxford. So two of the five scumbags who rewrote Bobby Fischer, my 60 memory, but Bobby Fischer went to Oxford, and they came up with such vicious stuff like this. I mean, it's perfectly understood, you know, when you say backfires. Let's say I wrote a book, and I said, Mary ate her dinner, right? And then some people rewrote my book, right? They corrected me. They said, Mary ate her dinner with her mouth. You know, so she's going to eat her dinner with her ears, right? It's understood. So this is what they have done here.
So they tried to do something with your original book.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's just a little, a little bit of an aside with the Bashford of Doom. Let's get back to Bobby Ahn here. Now they're talking about this searching for Bobby Fischer movie, right? Which was originally a book, okay. The book was later on made into a movie with the same title and incorporated film clips of Fischer and a Simon exhibition he gave. I am not qualified to opine whether the movie became a hit because of the use of Bobby's name, but can relate that the only reason I watched the movie was out of curiosity as to Bobby Fischer's role. Only an idiot would say something. He's not qualified. Everybody knows the movie sold at least 10 times more because of my name. Maybe 100 times more because of my name.
Now, I have to admit, when I first read in the newspapers that there's a movie about, you know, Bobby Fischer.
Yeah.
I really waited until it was shown locally. I really wanted to see if you were there.
Right. The chances are you would never have seen the movie if it didn't have my name on it, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then listen to this. And he says, later on, due to a howl of protest by Fischer, the movie's title was changed to Innocent Moves. But that is besides the point. The money had already been made. First of all, Bobby, I'm not a filthy dog like you, so I don't howl. Okay? But getting on to this, he said the movie's when was it changed, Bobby, to Innocent Moves? My information is that even today, what did you give the date today, Barbara? What's
today? Today is the 28th of April, 2001.
Yeah. As of today, it is still being shown as searching for Bobby Fischer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And still making money using my name. Everywhere where I have come in contact with this movie, it was always searching for Bobby Fischer.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I was in several times I was in hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
You would be on pay TV or whatever. It says searching for Bobby Fischer, always. When Chess Life advertised the video of it in their magazine, and in their catalog, it was searching for Bobby Fischer.
So they keep on using it?
Yeah, they're still using it, you know. They're still using my name to make money. He's trying to make it sound like they're not making any more money with my name. They have made money, and they are making money, and they intend to keep on making money using my name with this movie. So this guy, Ong, is just like an apologist for Paramount Pictures. And for this dirty Jew, some of the Murray Redstone, who owns Paramount Pictures through Viacom. Mm-hmm. Let's go on for some other things that he's...